All right. Thank you so much, Lynn and Lewis earlier. Thank you all for being here. Good morning, and wishing all a blessed morning. And those people here on the East Coast are being thankful and grateful that the Hurricane Joaquin has moved out to sea, and we're going to have some okay weather instead of a hurricane. So let's start off this morning, as we always do, and send our love and blessings to all that are here gathered, and we send our love and blessings to all who are listening in on the radio right here, right now. So I'm just going to take this opportunity just to allow everyone to send their blessings right here, right now. Okay. Okay, we're back here live again. That was song I Rule My Mind, Which I Alone Must Rule, which of course is a song from A Lesson of A Course in Miracles. All right, I hope the mic is coming through okay. So a few people thought that maybe it was a little shaky, but if it is, just say so and we'll see what we can do. Right now, we do have a lot ahead of us, and so I'm going to, and we have Lee Catalano is going to be calling in to do the reading, and we'll see about that in a few minutes. Right now, let's take a look at the purpose of awakening together, which we do every Sunday, and let's see if I can find that easily. Our purpose is we are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Yes, the certainty of one true self. And of the five core values of Awakening Together, I selected number 3, which kind of reinforces the purpose easily. It says, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Yeah, it goes perfect with today's topic, which is called Awakening from Self-Doubt to Certainty. Okay, we'll be getting there very soon. Let me take a look at announcements. And there's a few announcements, and let me read them because it's easier to read than to remember. Let's see. Here are the announcements. only a week and a half left to register for the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. Last day to register is Wednesday, October 14th. There are three retreats, and you can register for one, two, or all three retreats. Jan Frazier's retreat is October 30th through November 1. Regina Dornakis is November 1 through November 6th, and Bentino Massaro, who we've been quoting him the last couple of days, I'll be speaking more on him this morning, is November 6th through November 8th. Prices vary by retreat and the type of accommodation, but they include the retreat, room, and meals, and there's also an optional shuttle service from the airport. This is one of the most affordable retreats out there and a great opportunity to learn from teachers who are speaking from direct experience. Another announcement here. If you don't already receive the Daily Awakening Together updates via email, sign up for them at the awakeningtogether.org site. Just click subscribe to daily updates on the quick links menu on the right side of the website banner. When you subscribe to daily updates, you get the daily quote each morning, which I love, by the way. I absolutely love the daily quote each morning. Plus all Awakening Together news when it comes out, including retreat information, information about the free online satsangs, links to featured talk audios, and much more. If you take a moment to glance at the daily update every day, you will never miss an announcement or an audio link. And finally, if you miss some of our online satsangs, you can listen to the audios at awakening-together.org. That's awakening-together.org under the Inspiration menu. Just click Inspiration. And then choose featured talks, and then you'll be able to scroll through the list of featured talks, which includes all of our satsang audios. Some of the satsang audios available to listen to are audios with Jan Frazier, Bettina Massaro, Mukti, which is Adyashanti's wife, Gina Lake, Nirmala, and many more. The most recent satsang was with John Mark Stroud, and you'll find that one right on top of the featured talk list. Again, click on the Inspiration menu, and then click Featured Talks. You can also get to Featured Talks from Quick Links menu. I think that completes the announcements, and let's see what else there is. I will say a few words. I want to thank everyone who is here right now. It was posted that
always can this section
reading, and she's not even in the room, and I'm trying something new. I did ask Lee because she is going to be on tonight, actually with Lynn Johnson. It's not going to be live tonight. It's going to be an audio, which Lynn and Lee did a couple
Scott
days
Magnifier.
Ago up in Boston when Lynn was in Boston at Vicky Poppy's house, and that was a great hour. And thankful it was recorded, and it's going to be on tonight, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and all are invited to that. Of course, Lee is also coming out with a brand new book, Breaking Spells and Leaving, and Still Leaving Miracles, and Leaving Miracles in Its Place. And she's going to be here in a few minutes, maybe speak a little bit more on that as an intro. But she's also our reader this morning. And if you got the email, hopefully you're on my email list. It goes out every Saturday night. And the email said that today's topic is Awakening. And the subtitle is From Self-Doubt to Certainty. I must say I was totally inspired last week by Regina Dornakis on the topic that she had, which was looking at the part of you that doesn't want to awake. Of all the Ken Wapnick workshops and CDs that I ever listened to, the one I listened to recently the most is the one that says, the name of the workshop was Make No Illusion a Friend. And last week, Regina mentioned, you know, in a way, we don't want to awake. We are we actually want what we think we have, the little that we have. That's the exact same thing that Ken Lapnick was saying in Make No Illusion of Friend. You have to become aware, literally aware, that you want to hold on to the little that you have. You don't want to let it go. And, of course, as it says in A Course in Miracles, you never ask to give up what you have, but you are not aware of what it is that you are pushing away that you don't want to have right now because you are satisfied with the little green acre that you have right now. So, the last couple of days we've had daily quotes from Bettina Massaro, and I did post this a little bit earlier. Maybe some people came in late, so we'll try and repost it. Today's post kind of really speaks to that big time. It's what he says. It's very important for the sake of your own well-being that you're able to stand your ground vibrationally. If you let skeptics and less liberated people's ideas convince you of their reality, you have just handed over your power to create an amazing life. Ah, that's Lee. Hold on one second. Hi, Lee. Hold on just... Okay, so you want... Okay, very good. Okay. If you let skeptics and less liberated people's ideas convince you of their reality, you have just handed over your power to create an amazing life to those world views which you don't resonate to begin with. Don't accept any idea that does not seem absolutely exhilarating to you. So, I'm swapping my own little small acre for something that's absolutely exhilarating. We're going to speak about that for the rest of this morning's topic. Well, I thought that was Lee, but it wasn't. She should call back, hopefully. Yeah, this morning's topic takes a look at the idea that we live in self-doubt. And the Course keeps talking to us about certainty. It says, what can be more... Hi, Lee. Okay, hold on one second. What can be more certain than a son of God? So without much further ado, we're going to turn this mic over to Lee Catalano, who will be reading from Entering the Ark, Chapter 20, Section 4, Paragraph 8, which is something I have found, and I call it the Abundance Prayer. When you hear it, you'll absolutely just want to use it as your Abundance Prayer. If you've never heard it before, listen up. Okay. I'm going to put you on our speaker, Lee, and if you want to take a few moments after you do the reading to speak to us a little bit more about maybe your book or the interview that you did with Lynn, which is going to be on Sunday night tonight at 8 o'clock. Without further ado, turning this mic over to you, and I'm going to, and hopefully the people in the room will be able to hear you. So if anyone needs some more volume, just tell me. So turning this mic over to you, Lee Catalano.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning, David, and good morning from Boston. And I'm so honored to be here and very excited to speak the word of Jesus, the Christ, our Christ. Amen. And here we go. You may wonder how you can be at peace when while you are in time. There is so much that must be done before the way to peace is open. Perhaps this seems impossible to you, but ask yourself if it is possible that God would have a plan for your salvation that does not work. Once you accept His plan as your one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stone to trip on and no obstacle to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Again, nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything, except the only purpose that you would fulfill. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not on contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than a son of God? Can you hear me, David?
Yes, yes.
I sat with this reading last night, and I sat with Jesus, and I did recently publish a book called Breaking Spells and Leaving Miracles in Their Place. And throughout this book, it's a vibrational awakening. I find myself able to receive inspiration, but I've also found my mind in a very different place than it used to be. I've spent a lot of time on the other side of the veil with Jesus. And what Jesus wants me to know is this passage is all about our relationships. And on this side of the veil, where it's a little bit clumsy because we've brought so much shame into our experience, we're practicing on this side of the veil by not shaming our brother. And that as we move into that practice and we think about innocence and we ponder innocence and forgiveness, it begins to bring us into another state of mind. Our brother really is our salvation. And what Jesus wants me to know and wants us all to know is the fear of the love of God runs really deep. And if there is a brother, someone in your life that you really love dearly, what you will sense within yourself if you really get peaceful and quiet when you behold them is a fear in your belly, the fear of the love of God. And because we are so afraid to face that fear of the love of God, please excuse me, I feel very emotional and blessed in this information, that we go about creating all kinds of chaos because we would rather have the chaos and we would rather have the shame. Hear me well. We would rather have the chaos and we would rather have the shame than go nose to nose with our fear of the love of God. But I'm here on behalf of Jesus and all of us within the kingdom to say that it's okay. It's okay for us to stick our nose right into the middle of our fear of our love of God. Because as we have Jesus shine the light of innocence upon us, it gets a little shaky and then it lets go. Our salvation is in our brother. And on this side of the veil, we're a little clumsy about not projecting and we're a little clumsy about remembering innocence, and it's okay. And Jesus will bring us in a moment where our fear is way, way down to the other side of the veil. And then we come back here and we know that there's another reality other than what we've given ourselves, and we're innocent and everyone's innocent, and it plays out in our relationship. So when we find ourselves afraid today, we will find ourselves afraid to be kind to those that are at hand that we really, really love. It's all right. We're okay. We're innocent kids moving through a very thin veil of fear. And we all belong on the other side of the veil, deeply steeped in innocence together. And I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to speak about this, David, because I'm never doing anything for anyone else for me, but for me. And you're inviting me to come here and speak with a generous opportunity for me to help myself and to remember the innocence in God and what I truly am. And I love you, and I feel blessed in your presence. Thank you, David.
All right. Okay, it's I who thank you. And, you know, as you were sharing, I was thinking a few people said, what is Lee's last name? And for those people who probably do not know you, Lee Catalano was one of the pillars. I use the word pillar. She was a pillar of the room when we originally started here many years ago. The first year we had Doug, who was a teacher in the morning doing the workbook lesson and text readings. But as he left in 2005, Lee Catalano started Team Sonship, and every day there was a different person. One was Lenny Rose, one was Cher Murphy, one was Lee Catalano. There was a whole bunch of people that Lee actually got together to do the daily workbook lessons, which of course we still continue to do today. Thank you so much, Lee. And I know you're going off to be a greeter at your community church there. Thank you so much for being here. And for those people who want to hear more of Lee, I know you do, she's on tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here with Lynn Johnson, who did this wonderful 1 hour talk with Lee. And and if you haven't heard it, and I did hear parts of it, I didn't hear the whole thing, do hear it. It's wonderful. And as Lynn Johnson just said, Lee is as awake as anyone could possibly be, and that's you.
Tell you, Lynn and I were talking at the kitchen table at Vicky's house, and I said, you know what, Lenny, baby, why don't we go on the mic because the room is quiet and just talk about everything we're talking about right here and now. And Lynn is very generous of spirit and heart, and I adore her, and we just wanted to be with everybody, and she recorded it, so it's wonderful. I can't wait to check in and hear it myself.
Okay. Thank you so much, love. We will talk later. All right. Okay, love you. All right. Lee Catalano, and she has a new book. It's already available on Amazon. Getting Rid of Spells. Do I have the exact title of the book in front of me? Does anyone? Let's see. I'll get the exact title of the book. let's see. It's called Breaking Spells, Leaving Miracles in Their Place. And she does have a website called Breaking Spells and Saving, Breaking Spells, Leaving Miracles in Their Place. That's an interesting website. Long name, but here it is. I'm going to post it right over here. All right. And I asked her to read from that particular section, because that section for me, I call it the abundance prayer. If you hear what it says, it says, if you fulfill the one function that you came here for, no obstacles will bar your way, no stones to trip you up. The path will be made smooth and straight instead of the winding ups and downs we have now. And this is a guarantee given to you by God. And it's not based on contingency. It's based on certainty. Now, this is the part I've always loved. It rests on you for what can be more certain than a son of God. The word certain comes up over and over in the Course, because the little small avatar, small little self, who's holding on to the things of this world like they mean something because he's given meaning to them, giving meaning to the meaningless, and wants to be right about it, doesn't care about being happy, I just want to be right about what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. I'm in it for myself. That little small self, which is what we think we are, and please don't ever blame the little small self, that's what we made of ourself as a shabby substitute for the certain Son of God, the anointed one, the one that they call the Christ. And Christ's vision has only one law. It sees no one as a body. But if I'm using my body's eyes and my body's ears to see and hear the things that I think have meaning in this world, that I've given meaning to. Then I'm going to use judgment. And of course, the Son of God, who is the certain Son of God, who is one, united with his Creator as one, never had the power of judgment. It was never necessary. It was never needed, because certainty is certainty. But if you make a world of uncertainty, if you make a world of change, a world that you think is going to be better or more or different than what you have, then you do need to usurp the belief that you can judge what is good and what is bad and what is right and what is wrong. And you live in this world, in this matrix, where you think you know what's real, but actually it's not real at all. It is the matrix. It doesn't mean you don't get up in the morning, you go to work and do all the things, and you try and make a ritual out of it, a pattern, so that you can feel that at least there's some sanity here, even though the world seems to be insane. At least you're not insane, right? But we're actually living in self-doubt because we don't really know what we are. As long as I identify with the little small self, the self that seems to be the Son of God. Oh yes, conceptually I am the Son of God, right? But then things happen. You know, all kinds of things happen that I can't explain, and all of a sudden I'm not the Son of God anymore. Somehow somebody has stolen my peace. I think the quote yesterday from Bentino Massaro, which I'm going to try and post over here, which really nails it nicely. I'm going to, some of you already know what it is, but let's go over it, because it actually speaks so powerfully to us. It says, no, that's the same one that I did before. That's not the one I was looking for. Hold on. With just a little bit of luck, we will locate that. Well, I can't seem to locate it. maybe I can just read it. Well, I don't have it. Regina says she'll get it. Thank you so much, Regina. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. okay, here it is. Thank you. Circumstances take their cue from your beliefs. If you believe that the belief system that you have, that your beliefs should take their cue from your circumstances, then you're going to be stuck in an infinite reflection loop that does not change very much. Your world won't budge. You're actually stuck in what I call self-doubt. Corinne Zupko has a website called From Anxiety to Love. Which is the same thing as from fear to love, which is the same thing as from self-doubt to certainty. Yeah, love is a certainty. Anything less than total love, total trust in God is the strength in which I trust, and I'm not really trusting in God's strength, I'm trusting in my own true self, my own true strength. Let's take a look at what it says here. Under God is the strength in which I trust. And I just happened to look this today, and it says, Today we'll try to reach past your own weaknesses to the source of real strength. Try to slip past all your concerns relating to your own sense of inadequacy. It's obvious that any situation that causes you concern is associated with feelings of inadequacy. For otherwise, you would believe that you could deal with the situation successfully. It's not by trusting yourself that you're going to gain confidence, but the strength of God in you is successful in all things. The recognition of your own frailty is a necessary step in the correction of your errors, but it's hardly a sufficient one in giving you the confidence which you need and to which you are entitled. You must also gain an awareness that confidence in your real strength is fully justified in every respect and in all circumstances. In the latter phase of the practice period, try to reach down into your mind to a place of real safety. Now, this is not outside of you. If you think it's outside, then you've given your power away. No, it's within you. Real safety is not outside. Real safety is within you. That's why you can afford to say, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. It says, you'll feel a real sense of deep peace. It says, you will recognize you've reached this place if you feel a sense of deep peace. However briefly, let go of all the trivial things that churn and bubble on the surface of your mind, and reach down and below them to the kingdom of heaven. So where is the kingdom of heaven? Is it somewhere outside of me? Do I have to do something to get there? No, as a matter of fact, it's an undoing. It's a recognition that it's not outside of you. Actually, there is nothing outside of you. And that we'll be speaking about in a few minutes. It says, there is a place where there is perfect peace. There's a place in you where nothing is impossible. There's a place in you where the strength of God abides. So we talk about from self-doubt to certainty, and we just had Lee Catalano read one of the places that certainty is spoken about. God's guarantee is not for the ego that says, oh, wow, I got God's guarantee. He says, no, wait. It rests on you, but it's not based on contingency like what if this and how about that? No, it rests on certainty. And what can be more certain than a son of God? Now, there's another place in the Course, one of my favorite places in the Course, lesson 156, I walk with God in perfect holiness. And here he talks about certainty again. In the last paragraph, it says, who walks with me? This question should be asked 1,000 times a day till certainty has ended doubting. Till certainty has ended doubting and established peace. Today, let doubting cease. God speaks for you in answering your question with these words. I walk with God in perfect holiness. I light the world. I light my mind and all the minds which God created one with me. Now here you see the word certainty again. I remember when I first mentioned this many years ago, somebody said, you know, I did the math, and I found that if you ask the question, who walks with me, 1,000 times a day, he said, it's going to take 16 hours of your day just to ask that question. Does that seem practical? To which I said, wait a minute, you missed the part in the sentence that said, till certainty has ended doubting. So you don't have to ask 1,000 times a day. If you ask more than a few times, then use it to contemplate who walks with me. You don't have to ask the question. Because if you ask the question more than once or twice, you're letting doubt come in. When you contemplate, whose strength am I truly trusting in? In my own strength? My own little small, weak, frail strength? Or in the strength of the Creator of the universe? One is very doubtful, and one is certain. You know, the word confidence was spoken twice in what we just read, has the word fidelity in it. Confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. Yeah, if you have no faith and no willingness to remember the truth, and that's really what gets us to certainty, is my willingness, not my understanding. I don't have to understand this stuff. Oh, the doubtful one within, the part of the mind that needs an explanation, that needs to understand. Well, I can't accept this without understanding it. That's the voice of the ego speaking. Well, I need to understand this. I can't accept what I don't understand. Yeah, the experience comes from your willingness to let go of what you are not and to remember what you are. That's why the last unanswered question, one of my favorite sections, chapter 21, section 7, it starts off with, can't you see that all of your misery, he uses the word all, 100% of all your misery comes from your strange belief that you are powerless. And when I hear him say that, I know he's laughing. Because he knows the exact opposite is true, that you're powerful beyond measure. And he says, do you know what the last unanswered question is that you have not answered yet? He said, oh, no, don't use that, do I want the peace of God one. He said, of course you're going to say yes. I said, but what difference does that mean? What difference does that make when you say, I want the peace of God, and then someone steps on your big toe, or talks about you behind your back, or turns out to unfriend you. All of a sudden, you've given up the peace of God so easily because you want to be right, that you're unloved. Unloved from where? From outside of you? Today was a funny thing because I didn't really know what I was going to say, just like usual on Sunday. And then a posting was made here by Brian Schultz. Many of you know Brian. He's a prolific poster, posts every day on Open Minds. And today was no different. And he wrote something which he has been speaking about for some time. He is a therapist with a practice, and I think a lot of clients that follow him. He has a large following on Open Minds. And he talks about the hidden roots of depression. How a mother's unhealed sadness influences her child. And of course, this is not the first time he's mentioned this. He has spoken about this. And apparently he himself had gone through a unhappy childhood. And he does see that that is pretty much why he had to have this breakthrough to realize that it did come from his mother. He has a wonderful picture here for those people who are on Facebook and see the picture. He has a picture of a little baby nursing at its mother's breast, which is that one picture tells you that, yeah, we get our nurturing our love from outside of us. You know, food is love. Nurturing from outside is love. And He spends a good part of this article speaking about, and it's a long article, I'm not going to do the whole thing, obviously, but he says, for close observation of how infants and young children interact with their mothers, from a profound inner search for the impact of my own depressed mother on my developing body, mind, and emotions, from a deep exploration of my clients' life histories, this is what I discovered, and the rest of this is all in capitals, all in capitals. All children have a vital, instinctual need for steady, joy-producing, and satisfying contact with their mother. Goes on to say, they need the excitement and the reassurance of happy eye contact, happy touching, and holding, and a general vibration of mother's pleasure in life to stay open and fully alive. The free spirit and open heart of an alive and happy mother is truly the sunshine that a young child needs to soak into his or her body, mind, and spirit. The basic mood, emotional tone of our mother is what deeply colors our basic feeling and attitude about life. Okay, we're going to stop there. Getting back, that kind of reminds me of what Lynn Johnson has been saying and sharing here. She shared it again this morning with Lewis. Who is your daddy? So if you think your mother daddy is your maternal mother daddy, and you didn't receive the love that mother daddy was going to supposedly give you, then you have a pretty good excuse that the world somehow didn't measure up to what you expected. You didn't get yours, and that's how you're going to fix it, is somehow you're going to reinforce that I didn't have the right mother, father. Well, actually, my own sharing and teaching is pretty much says that the mother, father that you have is the perfect mother, father that you have to learn the lessons that we came here for. There's no accident who your mother, father was. In my own life, I'm going to share a little on my own life. I was 5 years old at the time that the Western Union messenger came to the door of my house on that April night. The doorbell rang, and I saw my mother go to the door. And it was a Western Union man, and she crumbled on the floor, literally. Thrashing on the floor, literally. Crying hysterically, literally. She just received news that my older brother, he was 14 years older, had just been killed in action in last month of World War II. She spent the next, until the day she passed, next 34 years, pretty much under that same depression, that same asking God, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? You took my son away. Well, yes, she went through it, and how I see it is, yes, I spent a good part of my life, also pretty much like Brian, thinking that somehow, you know, I was pretty much my mother's company during those first 5-10 years after the passing, and, you know, didn't have that happy eye contact, you know, and I could use that to blame for a lot of the things in my life. Yeah. You know, there is a line in the Course which I just became familiar with. I didn't really ever see it before. I actually heard it from Ken Wapnick. I don't even know where it is, but I know the line must be there. It says in the Course, you are innocent in eternity, but you're not innocent in time. Actually, in time, we're guilty. Yeah. I've hurt a lot of people. And I've been hurt. But that's exactly what the Course is talking about when it's saying, if you want to hang out at the surface where all that stuff is happening and try and fix it at that level, you're going to be trying to fix sin and guilt and upset for a very long, long time. That's pretty much what that quote by Bettino Massaro says. You know, if you're at the effect of the circumstances that are outside of you, then you're always going to be doomed to be at the effect of the circumstances that are outside of you. One of the things that has brought me to this particular place where I am right now is the recognition of that chapter 18, section 6 in the Course in Miracles called Beyond the Body. And I've often thought of this, I often used it, but I never really experienced it like I have in the last month or so, and it has given me all kind of breakthroughs and clarity. It starts off, there is nothing outside of you. It's a five-word sentence. And the other day I said, you know, contemplate those five words, because whenever Jesus gives you a three, four, or five-word sentence, he doesn't want you to just read it like a sentence. He wants you to contemplate it, that there's nothing outside of you. That's a five-word sentence. It's not in iambic pentameter where you're going to get it, you know, confused with something else. There's nothing outside of you. It's the second line which came to me about a month ago, and I have really appreciated the value of it. It says, this is what you must ultimately learn. This is what you must ultimately learn. And I for many years said, well, yeah, I'm going to ultimately learn that there's nothing outside of me. And then about 3-4 weeks ago, I said, wait a minute. What do I mean by ultimately I'm going to learn this? Is that putting it off in time, like into the future, which is the ego's favorite trick? Well, I'm not there yet. One day I'm going to ultimately learn there's nothing outside of me. I said, wait a minute. If there's nothing outside of me, there's nothing outside of me now. Not later. Now. And if you luxuriate, if you bathe in that idea that there's nothing outside of you, you're going to see that all that other stuff, the anxiety that comes from having a childhood in which my mother didn't give me happy eye contact or wasn't there to nurture and nourish me, that had nothing to do with what I am right now. Oh, if I want to commiserate, oh yeah, if I want to blame, feel ashamed, somehow the grass was greener on somebody else's lawn, not on mine. Yeah, I can do that and feel sorry for myself for a very long, long time. But which self am I feeling sorry for? My little weak, frail self? Or the confident, certain self that I am? They live in two different worlds. They're not in the same world. Because if I hang out with that and try and fix and remedy and go to all the right places to learn, I'm learning what I'm not instead of choosing what I am. What am I? I am not that frail, unloved, trying to seek love in all the wrong places out there where it's not. If you look where it's not, you're going to be bitterly disappointed, and you must fail. As he says in the final lesson, there is no peace but the peace of God. But if you look where it is, If you look where it is, you must succeed, because that's where it is. Come home. Come home. He says, you must ultimately learn, for this is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you. You are home. For God created only this, and he did not depart from it, nor leave it separate from himself. Who are you walking with? You think you're walking alone? Really? You feel unloved? Really? The kingdom of heaven is the dwelling place of the Son of God, who left not his Father and dwells not apart from him. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It's merely an awareness. It's merely an awareness of perfect oneness. It's merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness and nothing else within. Of course, the power of decision is my own, that only the truth is true and nothing else is true. Am I going to go for the lie? Or do I want the thought system that has truth at its core, at its center? If I focus on this only, on the truth, everything that emanates from it is going to be healing and awakening, because it's the truth. Yes, what is the last unanswered question? Not do I want the peace of God. The last unanswered question is, am I willing to see what I denied? I deny the truth, because it is the truth. Am I willing to see? Yes, and I started asking that question a couple years ago, and yes, it's like an onion that just keeps having layer after layer come off, because you see all your denials in this world. You don't need them anymore. You have no need for denial, because all you really want is the truth. And the truth does set you free. It just does. I'm going to wind up here back in lesson 156. I walk with God in perfect holiness. I just happened to notice this morning. It says, this is paragraph 6. It says, this is the way salvation works. As you step back, and that's, by the way, lesson 155, let me step back and let him lead the way. These are all part of what I call the teacher's lessons, from 152 to 158, the teacher's lessons. This is 156. This is the way salvation works. As you step back, the light in you steps forward and encompasses the world. Now listen closely to this. It heralds not the end of sin and punishment and death. In lightness and in laughter is sin gone, because its quaint absurdity is seen. It's a foolish thought. A silly dream, not frightening, ridiculous perhaps, but who would waste an instant in approach to God himself for such a senseless whim? Yet you have wasted many, many years on just this foolish thought. The past is gone with all of its fantasies. They keep you bound no longer. The approach to God is near. And in the little interval of doubt that still remains, you may perhaps lose sight of your companion and mistake him for the senseless ancient dream that now is past. Who walks with me? This question should be asked 1,000 times a day, till certainty has ended doubting and established peace. Today, let doubting cease. God speaks for you in answering all of your questions with these words: I walk with God in perfect holiness. Practically speaking, let me share my experience with you. This past week, I realized that all the processing that I do with the thinking is all that same thing that they're saying, stop. You've been doing this for eons. Year after year, you keep doing the same thing. I'm going to figure this out. I'm gonna find out what the root of all of this is. And that reminds me of Ken Wapnick's favorite lesson, lesson number 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. And he tells you exactly what the lesson is really saying to him. It is his favorite lesson. He says, I'm never upset for any circumstance in this world. As a matter of fact, if I think I know why I am upset, you can be sure that is not it. That's the ego's point. He said, that's why you're upset. You're upset because your older brother died in the war and your mother was never the same. That's why you are the way you are. You can be sure that that is not it. You can be certain. No, I'm upset because I chose wrongly. I listened to an alien voice that gave the power to direct me in a world that I made, not a world of certainty that I lived in, into eternity crept a tiny mad idea in which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. He took it seriously. He thought he could actually change things. But he had to enter into a whole new world of change. And a change is not certainty. A change is contingency. Well, what if this happens and what if that happens? I need good judgment. So the Son of God became a gambler. Oh, I'm a rambler, I'm a gambler, I'm a long ways from home. And if you don't like it, then leave me alone. Yeah, in this world of uncertainty and, you know, looking for favors and good luck and this and that, there are no answers ever. We made a world that doesn't even exist. We made the Matrix. But if you become aware of it, you can look at the Matrix and smile and laugh, just like Morpheus when he's walking down the street. He wasn't being pushed and shoved by everybody as he was walking with Neo, who was being pushed and shoved by everybody. And finally, Neo sees the woman in the red dress who attracted his look, and he looks at this woman in the red dress, and Morpheus says, Neo, are you listening to me? Or are you looking at the woman in the red dress? Look at her again. He looks and it's Mr. Smith with a gun pointed at Neo's head. So, in this world you will always be dodging bullets. There's always something wrong happening. And if I want to hang out here, basically I'm doomed to repeat the same thing over and over again. So, how do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of the Matrix? Do I take the purple pill? Is anybody offering me the purple pill? Well, here's the purple pill for me. I found that in an instant, I can stop thinking and just smile. Just keep on smiling to remember the truth. You know, if you are smiling, not with the eyes of the body, but with your soft eyes, with the Christ vision that sees no one as a body, nothing in this world is going to disturb you, and you'll have nothing to really think about. I find that when you smile in awareness, all thinking stops. You might even try that with whistling. Did you ever just try whistling? Just whistling? If you're whistling your favorite tune, you're not really thinking. You're just whistling. And what I found is that the whistling and the smiling turns into laughter, and I found that the laughter literally, is not the laughter of Dove laughing. It's God laughing with me and through me. It's uncontrollable laughter. That's what happened for me this particular week. It says, in lightness and in laughter is sin gone because its quaint absurdity is seen. You're giving no mind to the sin and the weakness. You just know that everything will take care of itself. Everything will just take care of itself. You don't need to take care of it anymore. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank the Holy Spirit who's given me all of this to share. Thanking Regina for this wonderful Sunday morning that we all celebrate together. And this is a morning of celebration. It's also a time that maybe we can take a look at if anything here inspired you or you feel you're willing to donate to Awakening Together. Please do that. I'm going to play a little music during this time, and then we'll come back for some anyone who wants to share, any questions, anything at all. We have a whole hour of fellowship coming up after that, so we have plenty of time. If you're listening on the radio, you can go to awakening-together.org, and on the menu, you'll see at the right side, it says donation. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this mic over to music right here, right now. Thank you so much. Okay, we're back here live. That was Elisa Moore. She used to be a teacher here many moons ago. She actually lives very close to me, just about 15 minutes away from here. Elisa Moore, she's a professional singer, and she creates songs from A Course in Miracles. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left, at least in this morning service, and if anyone would like to share anything at all that might have come up for you during this morning, please do share it. I'd love to hear from you, truly. Anything at all that maybe you said, maybe a light bulb went off, or maybe you have a question, anything you want to share, please do. You can do that in writing if you want. Just text it if you want. Anyone at all, just raise your hands, and we'll turn the mic right over to you. Thank you so much. Regina Dawn Akers, thank you so much. Always love hearing Regina. Here it is, Regina.
Thank you, Dove. I always love hearing you, too, and it was a real joy for me today when you sang a couple lines. In fact, my heart literally leapt. It leapt with joy to hear your singing voice. So that was great fun. Thank you very much. But when you were reading that excerpt about how important it is for a child, you know, to be able to have eye contact and touch, you know, with a joyous mother who loves life. You know, a couple thoughts ran through my mind really quickly. One was, of course, how many of us had that? And then you told your story about how, you know, because of your brother's death, you did not have that with your mother. And then what ran through my mind next was how many of us feel like we were that kind of mother. You know, I know when I look back on my early years with Jasmine, I was not that kind of mother. You know, at some point I did become that kind of mother thanks to Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's inner guidance. But in the beginning, when I did not have that, I was not that kind of mother. And then you said something, I don't remember what you said specifically. But of course you were talking about how the past is not now. And my mind shifted from those two types of thoughts. You know, how many of us had that kind of mother? How many of us were that kind of mother? To a very, very present place where what you read suddenly had nothing to do with my earthly mother or with the type of mother that I was once upon a time. And it had everything to do with my relationship with God or truth now. And I realized suddenly this is why it's so important that I spend that time every day in contemplation, meditation, reflection. Because when I am doing that, when I am spending that quiet time, quote, alone, I am being with, you know, my mother, or some may say my father, but I'm being with that sunshine that you talked about. I'm being with that sunshine. And what you said when you read that was you said that the mother is like the sun and that, you know, her being is going to color the way the child sees the world. Well, when I spend time every morning with my, you know, mother, father, spirit, I usually don't use either of those terms, mother or father. That's only because of the article you read. But when I spend my time each morning with that, that is my sunshine. And that is going to color how I see the world and how I see myself and how I experience my day. And so starting my day each day with that, being in that, you know, with my hands on it, eye contact with it, heart connection with it. Yeah, my source, Peggy. That is so important because if I don't spend my day with that, I'm actually kind of with, pardon the expression, the other parent. You know, I'm with the one who is not reflecting that sunshine for me. I'm with the ego with its thoughts of the day, problems of the day, concerns of the day, judgments of the day, and that's what's going to color how I see the world, see myself, and experience my day. So as I really listened to you and just contemplated what you said, you know, to heck with how our mother was. You know, that's not today. To heck with how we were as mothers, because you know what? That's not today. Today is today. Now is now. And right now, what I need to do is I need to spend every morning with my source. And if I spend every morning with my source, that's going to color everything about the way I experience, about the way I be, about the way I perceive. I wanted to thank you very much for that article because I'm going to hold that article as an image in my mind, as a symbol. You know, me sitting down with my sunshine mother as a little child, and I'm going to surrender completely into that sunshine mother every single morning so that it colors my day. Thank you, Dove.
Okay, thank you so much, Regina, and I'm going to I thank you for mentioning that as something to share a little bit more on, because as you were sharing, I just want to say that for me it was perfect that I chose circumstances in which I was born into, in which, yes, I did maybe feel deprived. Yes, I did feel I needed love and approval from outside of me. And yes, I find that I still look for that love and approval outside of me. Yes, but that is not who I am or what I am. And everything that I am at this particular moment in my life actually came because of all the so-called circumstances that I went through. You know, in the Kabbalah, it says, you know, the first 40 years of your life, it's really about going out into the world and finding yourself in the world. The course is pretty much the same. I remember Ken Wapnick said, you know, the course is really not for young people. He said, because unless you go out into the world and strengthen your ego by thinking that this is who you are, when it comes time to actually make a decision, heaven is a decision that I must make, the power of decision is my own, I have to have something to decide for. But if I kind of loosey-goosey at the very beginning, and I'm not really sure about what I'm deciding for. I think the first 40 years of my life, I did go out into the world looking for all the things. I'm not saying that's still not there for me, but also I'm not fooled by it anymore. I'm not deceived by it anymore. I don't take it seriously anymore, and that's the big difference. If you take any of this stuff seriously, if you're not laughing at it, if you're not smiling and whistling and laughing at it, you know, you're still repeating the same thing over and over again. It becomes a pattern, which this person doesn't like me anymore, but there's many other people. As long as you look for it outside, you will be disappointed, as the Course says, you'll be bitterly disappointed. Yes. The faster you can come to the place where you realize there's nothing outside of you, nothing, there's nothing outside of you, the faster you will heal, the faster you will awake, and the faster you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh at all the things that you used to take seriously. And again, I think what Bettino Massaro said, I'm going to put it up, this is today's quote, it's very important for the sake of your own well-being that you're able to stand your ground vibrationally. That's exactly what we're talking about. If you let skeptics, less liberated people's ideas convince you of their reality, you know, either you are the light or you're sharing in their darkness. That's why in chapter 29, section 4, it actually says you must refuse to enter into your brother's dark story. You must refuse to enter into you, because it's only reinforcing the darkness for them and reinforcing the darkness for yourself. Okay, Regina says, Jesus said the same, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Wow. Thank you so much. All right. Bentino often reminds me of Jesus. That's what Regina is saying. Peggy from Mississippi says, I thank you, Regina and Dove and Miss Lynn, for eating your father's food. For in doing so, you share the harvest with those of us who reap but have not yet sown from the life of Jesus. Thank you so much, Peggy. Yeah. We're just about at that time. I'm very happy to turn this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson. Thank you so much for all that you share and do here. Truly, you have made Awakening Together so alive, so light, and so bright. Thank you so much all for listening. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson.